we get the hour underway by talking with one of the longtime members of one of the most successful groups in the history of rock music. They remain the only all-female band to hit number one in the Billboard charts with their debut album. Talking about Gina Schock, the drummer for the Go-Go's, a new documentary on Showtime all about them, and their first new music in two decades, the single that we played a little of earlier, Club Zero. Friday, I was off celebrating my anniversary, and so Carrie had the chance to talk with Gina Schock, who immediately showered Carrie with praise at the quality of his radio voice.
You have the perfect radio voice, man. I guess, have you always had that incredible voice since you were young?
This is the voice I've had since I was 13 or 14. Rich was disappointed he couldn't make it. We both have been fans of the Go-Go's for a lot of years.
Thank you.
Was everybody on board in the band when the idea of this was first pitched to you guys?
Not at all. It was quite a journey. It took about a year to get everybody on board to work with Allison. I had seen this documentary called American Jihad.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I love film. You know, if I wasn't doing music, I'd be doing something in film. Anyway, I got a call. I thought that film was incredible. I'd love to see who the director was, Allison Elwood. I get a call from our manager saying, you know, we were talking about maybe someone doing our documentary. And lots of names were floated around, and when my manager said Allison Elwood, I was like, "Oh my God, Art! That woman is incredible. She's a great storyteller. We got to get her to work with us." So then, over the next year, you know, everybody wanted to meet her because we're going to put our lives, our whole story, in the hands of whoever's going to tell this documentary. We want to make sure that they're, you know, it's someone that we connect with. And I was telling the girls, "Boy, you got to watch this." But in the meantime, the Eagles doc came out, so everybody watched that. And it was like, you know, things kept piling up. Hey, man, look at this. You're going to love it. And it did work out that way. We met her in New York face-to-face after several phone calls, and we all just fell in love with her. She just began to feel like she was, you know, part of the band. Her politics were the same as ours. She's an environmentalist. She rescues animals. I mean, yeah. And what a great documentarian she is. Smart. Got a lot of soul. So glad that we have been able to work with her.
Yeah, and the results of the collaboration are just incredible. That it is a great film. Everybody, I'm assuming, in the band has seen it and likes it, likes how it came out.
Yes, yes. Everybody's on the same page. We're all really happy that we worked with Allison. We love the way she told our story. And, you know, she's just a lovely person to work with. I can't say enough about her, honestly. We were lucky to meet and lucky to work together. She loves us. We love her. It's very mutual.
One of the film things that came out in the film was that you sort of brought the discipline to the band. You were the one that pushed them to really practice and get the sound down?
Well, the way that it worked, or the reason it worked the way it did, was that I was 21 and I had driven from Baltimore to L.A. seeking fame and fortune. And I was on a mission. I mean, I drove in my dad's pickup truck and I had a PA system in there. I had guitar amps. I had my drums. I mean, it was all my records. Everything I owned, I went with me. And I was very focused when I got out there, and I met the girls at a party. They were looking for a new drummer. I was already in a couple bands, but I had seen them play once, and they only played three songs, but there was something really magical going on that stage, and they were having a blast. So when they asked me to join, I said, "Well, come around the house tomorrow, and we'll play a couple songs." They did just that. That was on a Sunday. Monday, I quit the two bands I was in. They fired their drummer. I got in the band, and of course, the first thing I say is, "Hey, when are we rehearsing?" And their rehearsal schedule was kind of spotty, you know, every couple of weeks or whatever. And I was like, mm-hmm. "You guys, we need to rehearse 5 days a week after work, whatever it takes, because there's something here, and we need to elevate it. It needs to go to the next level." And I knew that there were some good songwriters in this band, and they just needed to play their instrument more. They were going to be more proficient at their instrument, and that's how it all worked out. So, you know, I had come from playing in a lot of bands. So I was a little bit ahead of everybody as far as the musicianship went. And Kathy the same. Kathy Kathy had played in a lot of bands in Austin, although she was playing guitar initially, but she switched over to bass right quick.
Now, it did come together. Beauty and the Beat, still the only debut album by an all-female band to hit number one. Was that sort of rocket to the top a surreal experience for you guys?
Yeah, because to have the first record you do sell that many copies and go to number one, it was mind-blowing. Very heady times. We were all in disbelief. We had put the record out. We were touring around in a 12-seater van, and all of a sudden, playing in clubs, and we get a call. Our manager calls us and said, Miles Copeland, who was the head of IRS Records, and his brother, of course, is the drummer in the Police, and his other brother, Ian, was our booking agent, called up and said, hey, would you guys be interested in opening for the Police? And we were like, are you kidding? So we got rid of that damn van, and we went on tour with the Police, and I got to tell you, most of the times when you go to see a band, you'll have an opener, and you kind of skip that. Well, it didn't take long for word to get out, because when we'd walk on stage, those 20,000 seaters were packed. And, we went all over the country, all over the world, got back to L.A., and then we rehearsed for a little bit, and then we went right back out on the road, and we headlined all those 20,000-seat arenas.
Now you have your own group, House of Shock. You've been successful as a songwriter. What has kept you as a go-go over the years?
What's kept me as a go-go is because it's my heart. I owe so much to the band. I would think everybody in the band feels that way. I owe everything I have to the band. Timing is a big thing. We never know how that's going to work out. Everything worked out beautifully. We came from a very organic place. No one put us together. Our manager Ginger was our friend. Our roadies were our friends. They were all girls. I am every day I get up, I am grateful. I'm definitely at that phase in my life, because we've been together over 40 years, and I look at all that we've accomplished, and I'm like, wow, we actually did do something here. We got something to be really proud of. The documentary really shows that off, and I'm so pleased to have that out now and sort of, winding up our story, showing everyone our accomplishments and, our times when things were going great and times when things weren't so good. But that's that's part of being in a family, and this band ultimately is a family. And so that's the way it works. That's the way it works in any family.
Well, it is a great documentary, now available on Showtime. Gina, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us today.
Sure, I appreciate it. And I hope that maybe we'll see you next year. Hopefully this pandemic will be something we can put behind us. And we'll be out on tour next summer, which is what we had planned this year, just like everybody else. But hopefully we'll be out on tour next year, okay?
Again, thank you so much. Have a great day. And can't say enough good things about the film. It's turned out great.
I really appreciate it. And tell Rich happy anniversary, okay?